Uruguay Senate on Tuesday voted to legalize gay marriage by approving a single law governing matrimony for heterosexuals and homosexuals. Senators voted 23-8 in favor of the bill, which was passed by the lower house in December, and must now return to the lower chamber of Congress with changes. If approved, the law would make Uruguay the second nation in Latin America and the 12th in the world to legalize gay marriage. Argentina legalized same-sex marriages in 2010. The Director of International Coordination for Human Life International, Joseph Meany, spoke to Christopher Wells about the new legislation.
Uruguay's Senate has just passed this legislation. Now it's going to go back to the House of Representatives there and then finally to the President for signature. But because the left-wing broad front government has an absolute majority, they're pretty much assured that it's going to pass in the end. And it's part of a trend, actually, in Uruguay, which is a very liberal country by Latin American standards. A country which has a great deal of sort of secularism. Only about 50% of Uruguayans are actually baptized Catholic, which is extremely low for Latin America.
And in terms of the larger kind of cultural significance of this, same-sex marriage has not gained a whole lot of traction in Latin America. How does this fit in the overall social context of that continent?
Well, the only other country that has legalized same-sex marriage is Argentina next door, which did that in 2010. And that's probably had an influence as well in Uruguay. In fact, Pope Francis, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, spoke out very strongly. And of course, the bishops in Uruguay have as well. One thing that's kind of strange about Uruguay is that they actually legalized the adoption of children by same-sex couples before they legalized same-sex marriage. They did that back in 2009, and of course, when they did so, the church protested tremendously, including Archbishop Nicolás Cotuño, saying that it went completely against human nature and the fundamental rights of the human being as a person. But it's a very radical agenda. I mean, it's not just same-sex marriage, but even before they passed that, they passed civil unions and the adoption of children by homosexual couples.
So can you comment a little bit about how pro-life and pro-family groups are working in Uruguay and elsewhere in the area to help to work against these kinds of actions by legislators?
Yeah, I mean, it's a clear case of, you know, once you elect very radical people to government office, bad things result from that. But it's really essentially a very strong political and social battle in that whole southern cone of Latin America, where when the sort of radical left gets into power, they start, you know, trying to legalize abortion, as they did in Uruguay last year, tried to legalize many of these different radical social agendas. And so the pro-life community not only has to educate people, but they also need to get involved in politics, because if you allow these radicals in, then they pass these sort of laws.
And speaking of political parties, it seems that there's a separation between economic and political concerns on the one hand, and then some of the social issues, even though they're often tied together in similar parties and often go together, they're two different issues. Does that is that something that can be worked on, where you can separate social issues from, say, economic concerns or other concerns that might be the original reason for people to vote for these left-wing parties?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that was done very effectively in Brazil. There's a sort of a socialist party there in Brazil that gets a lot of vote from the poor, because, you know, they say that they're supporting the poor, but these poor at the same time, you know, do not want abortion. And they actually had a bill that came up for abortion, legalized abortion, that failed in Brazil, but a lot of these people from the socialist party there voted for it. In the next election that came up, their names were all published, you know, publicly in the newspaper, saying such and such voted to legalize abortion, and many of those candidates were not reelected by their power base, because, you know, their you know, poor voters did not want to support abortion. So it's clear that you know, the agendas do have to be separated, you know, and being in favor of the poor has nothing to do with being in favor of abortion.
And returning to Uruguay, I know Uruguay is a little bit more of a secular country, as you mentioned earlier. How do you think we often see legislatures, senates, and parliaments legislating things that, especially on social issues, that may not reflect the concerns of the people in terms of the population and the common person? How do you think the average Uruguayan feels with regard to some of these social issues.
Yeah, well, one of the main problems that Uruguay is facing right now is a very European problem. That's demographic aging. They are one of the few countries in Latin America that is below replacement fertility. They have about 1.8 children per family. They actually rank 145th in the world in terms of fertility, meaning 144 countries have higher fertility than Uruguay does, and they're kind of in the European club. And because of that, their economy is not doing so well, and a lot of people are leaving the country. And, you know, a lot of these issues of, you know, legalizing abortion, legalizing same-sex marriage, things like this are not, any demographer would tell you, ways to increase fertility rates in your country. But I think the main concerns in Uruguay, as in many other countries, is, you know, the economic crisis that's going on, the need for strong families and other institutions that will help people face quite a lot of economic and other disturbances. But it seems the radical groups in power are more interested in their agenda, which is, you know, pandering to certain minority groups and passing things that go against traditional family and teachings of the church.